Moving on to the book of 1 Corinthians. A key point to understand in the book of 1 Corinthians is that St. Paul is addressing those inside the church. He's speaking about the problems which can befall people inside the church, believers. And he makes this clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. Quote, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?" He's not really getting into those who are outside the church. We know that those who are outside the church cannot be saved so long as they remain outside the church. And those outside the church certainly can and do fall into the mortal sins which he will be describing. But St. Paul is here addressing the problems which can befall believers. And with that in mind, here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Again, he's talking to those within. Well, if he's talking to those within, and people are saved as soon as they believe, this wouldn't make any sense at all. They could not be barred from the kingdom of God. But he's warning them that you believers, if you fall into these things, you will be barred from the kingdom of God. Now, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we see that St. Paul makes numerous statements which make it clear that the virginal state is superior to the marital state. I'm not going to read them, but anyone who takes the time to read the chapter can see that that's very clear from what St. Paul says. The marital state is not a bad state, but the virginal state is superior. Now, I mention that because I want to make this point. In 1 Corinthians 7, 8, St. Paul says, quote, "I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn," end quote. Remember, he's talking to believers, as we made clear from 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. And he says it's better to marry than to burn. Well, if he's talking to believers, and they are saved as soon as they believe, how could they possibly burn? They couldn't. So this completely refutes the idea of eternal security. Furthermore, if man is saved by faith alone, how could one possibly burn based on whether or not one decides to marry? He couldn't. So that refutes justification by faith alone. Both eternal security and justification by faith alone are shown to be totally false and foreign to the gospel if one deeply considers 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and the implications of its language. And then if we move to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we find a very devastating passage. St. Paul says, quote, "I keep my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway," end quote. St. Paul, the greatest missionary in Christian history, a true Christian, obviously, says that he himself could become a castaway. And the Greek word that is translated in the King James as castaway actually means reprobate, and it's used in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 7, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, to indicate a lost person or an apostate from the faith. So there is no doubt that St. Paul is indicating that he could lose his salvation. This completely refutes the Protestant view of justification, and it's frankly amazing that Protestants can read this passage and not see that it refutes their view. Moving on to 1 Corinthians 12:12, where we see that it's the sacrament of baptism which makes one a member of the Christian church. That's just a quick point to make. In 1 Corinthians 13:2, St. Paul says, quote, "Though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing," end quote. St. Paul says that he could have all faith. If he has not charity, it profits him nothing. Well, if faith alone gives you salvation, he wouldn't say that, because faith would be granting you salvation. But he's saying that faith, all faith, will profit you nothing if you do not have charity. It contradicts justification by faith alone. In the same chapter, in 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says that charity is the greatest of faith, hope, and charity. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but charity is the greatest of these. If faith alone granted you salvation, charity wouldn't be the greatest. Faith is necessary. You cannot have charity without faith, and that's why charity is the greatest, because he who is in possession of true charity is necessarily in possession of faith. But if man were justified just by an act of faith, St. Paul would never say that charity is the greatest. Another point to mention about 1 Corinthians is, back in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, St. Paul speaks of those who had been converted and justified as, quote, "Ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." St. Paul speaks of sanctified and justified in the same sentence, and he uses the term sanctified before the term justified to indicate that there is no distinction between sanctification and justification. The two are interchangeable. That is the Catholic view, that when a person is justified, he is sanctified, and vice versa. Not the Protestant view, that one is declared to be justified but is not actually sanctified. St. Paul speaks of these converted believers as having been justified and sanctified at the same time, and he's referring to their baptism.